Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Today our scripture is taken from the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, which says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." This is a wonderful scripture that has quite a contrast between those of us who are being saved and those who are lost. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from evil. We've been delivered from Satan's control in our life. And we've been transformed by the blood of Christ and the work that he did on the cross into his own kingdom. It's a wonderful transition that takes place in this verse, that those who are lost can be found, that there's a second power, a more powerful power, the Holy Spirit and God the Father drawing people to himself, and God the Son doing the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary and shedding his own blood and paying for the debts for our sins, and the power of his love as it comes in.
Part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their desire to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections and the lives being changed all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Back to school, it's back to school time, at least for us. the school year begins. Our teaching schedule balances between multiple school calendars. Each term starts with a mom's meeting for planning and a devotion to refresh our minds of the calling God has given us to disciple the ones in our care. One of the moms to join our planning meeting was a waiting mom in the process of foster to adopt placement. It has been a full circle moment for me to be the voice guiding her through the effects of trauma on memory and learning. So last term, I carried the weight of the administration and teaching while showing the new moms the ropes. This term, many tasks are delegated between the moms and new classes added. Over the summer break, I spoke with one of the moms in our co-op about how she started homeschooling. God was calling her family not just to a different approach to education at a time when homeschooling was frowned upon in this country, but also to be intentional in their approach to parenting and family life to disciple their children in the way of the Lord. It is very common for kids to attend boarding school at a young age and attend classes 6 to 7 days a week in long hours. Bullying and performance-based corporal punishment is commonplace and even promoted. God has called them to live a new way, but to start, she traveled to the capital city to meet with a homeschool coop until she felt confident enough to do it alone. The determination it takes to pack your kids up to drive between 3 and 6 hours. One direction to a playdate is dedication and bravery. Our current need, our current vehicle has been a blessing to us since we bought it 9 years ago. It wasn't even new then. It has given us very little issue, which is rare here because the roads are in such poor repair. And at the end of the year last year, we had a major repair. Thank you to all who contributed to help us out then. This time it's an entirely different issue. Being without a vehicle isn't just inconvenient, especially when there is no emergency systems like ERs like there are in developed countries. This car has taken us to and from the clinic in all hours of day and night. It has gotten us out of unsafe situations, and it has been provision for neighbors and even strangers. Like the time we were in line at the courthouse for hours and the lady in front of us lost consciousness, we escorted her and her family to the nearest healthcare facility. And when our car transported neighbors too ill or fragile to get to the hospital by foot or motorcycle, or neighbors who passed away in the hospital, we assisted to transport her to her home to be buried, and our vehicle became the hearse. This vehicle has seen it all, but this last year or so, it has become more of a burden. One issue is repaired and another turns up. The time to replace it is here. Would you consider helping us replace our vehicle? Transportation is a blessing to us and many around us. Our has been a vital tool to our ministry. It gets us to places we would otherwise struggle to reach and help those in need when the systems lack emergency care. The road to our house didn't exist until we drove on it enough, and with each rain, the erosion changes the path. The roads are rough, and we need something higher from the ground. The time has come to replace our car. Would you consider praying for us? We thank you so much.
As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about The Man on the Middle Cross, written by Alistair Begg. The booklet introduces three people who had their lives changed when they met Jesus. Each was given hope, restoration, and a way back to God: the woman at the well, the paralyzed man, and the thief on the cross. With characteristic clarity, Alistair Begg explains how this offer is open to all who come to Jesus, the man on the middle cross. Alistair Begg is the Bible teacher at Truth for Life, a worldwide radio and digital ministry. He served as senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio for over 40 years. To order this booklet, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Post Office Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the United States, write to Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is entitled, When Our Faith is Tested. This is a message from The Life of Abraham. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today we come to the final study in our series entitled, Practical Lessons for Today from the Life of Abraham. The next time we're together, it's my plan to begin an extended series on the final book, that is the capstone of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But for now, let's go back to Abraham. As we have walked our way through the life of this patriarch, we have seen him face many trials and testings. But the last one is of far greater significance, probably, than all of the others combined. He was an old man now, and probably figured life's biggest battles were about over, and had no clue of what was about to take place. So as it was in his life, it often becomes the case in our lives. We have trials and testings that come our way when we least expect them. The test that came to Abraham was to see how strong his faith really was. The Lord came to him, saying, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In Genesis 22:2. Can you just imagine the conflict that immediately took place in his mind? Every word of that command must have gone through his heart like a dagger. Not sacrifice the son of promise, for whom he waited all of these years. Lord, I'd be delighted to give you all of my flocks, my herds, my wealth, but Lord, not my son. It is not recorded here, but can you imagine what it would have been like to have to tell Sarah? After all, this was not an adopted son. It was not Eliezer of Damascus or even Ishmael, but Isaac. But we do not find him questioning God. The Lord was testing his love for him as well as his faith. And what did Abraham do? We read this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place that God had told him. Genesis 22:3. There are several things that we should note here. First of all, there was no delay in his obedience to the command of the Lord. I'm sure he had a rough night of it, but the Lord had given him orders, and he was obedient to them as soon as he was awake. Faith had taken hold, and he would explicitly follow God's directions. As we look at the situation this elderly man faced, suppose something similar to this was to strike our lives. How would you or I face it? He began his 3-day journey immediately. He was obedient. I think today we often claim to be willing to do whatever the Lord wants, yet we're afraid to even speak up for him when it might bring us even a mild rebuke. We get tested too. How do we react? Secondly, Abraham went to the exact place God told him to go. It was to the land of Moriah, a journey that would take him 3 days from Beersheba. This period gave him ample time to consider even more in depth what he had been asked to do. Can you just even begin to imagine what was going through his mind? I have to offer my son as a burnt offering? When they arrived at the prescribed place, Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. That's Genesis 22:5. What a statement of trust in the Lord as he faced this trial. How could they come again if he had to slay Isaac? Wouldn't that be impossible? It is my personal conviction that victory had already been won in the mind of Abraham during that journey. We read about it in Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whom he also received him in a figure. Abraham, facing the most difficult test of his life, was able to believe that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Now, folks, here's faith when it's under fire. How could he have this faith? God had proven himself over and over again in his lifetime, so he was able to look at the promises of God and know he would not let him down. Could we do that? In reality, we must ask ourselves today if we would have faith like Abraham had during the most severe test of his entire life. As we go back to the narrative in Genesis 22, we soon see that Abraham made Isaac carry the wood to build the fire on the altar for his own sacrifice. Meanwhile, Abraham carried the fire pot and the knife as they went to the designated place together. While they were walking, Isaac made an interesting observation that demanded an answer. "We have the fire in the wood, Dad, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" It was very obvious, something very necessary was missing. With the eye of faith and trust in the Lord, he answered, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." When they arrived at the designated spot, Abraham built an altar, laid the wood on it, and with a broken heart, bound Isaac and laid him there to be offered. I see something else here that is often overlooked, and that is the trust that Isaac had in his father. For he was not a little child, and his dad was an old man. He could have overpowered him easily and gotten away, but instead he was obedient and willingly submitted himself. Perhaps it was because he had seen the Lord work in his father's life so many times in the past. He was willing to trust him. Then came the hardest part of the test of faith. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now it was really crunch time. Was the Lord going to fail the patriarch? If he did, all those promises God had made about the seed line through Isaac would be voided, and God would have failed. As he raised the knife in faith, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The test and the trial was over. God had kept his word. It was as if Isaac had been raised from the dead. Faith had won the victory. But the story does not end here. There is much, much more to it. We go back to our text again, and to the question raised by Isaac. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He wanted to know, as this was a life or death situation for him. His father's answer is a classic one, in that he said God would provide himself a lamb. That lamb for sacrifice would not be Isaac, but a very special one. For the lamb that would be provided would be one member of the Godhead himself. Now who would that lamb be? And when and how would he come? When we turn to the New Testament, we find the answer in John chapter 1. There we see John the Baptist being questioned as to his identity. Was he Elijah, or that prophet greater than Moses who would come, Messiah? He made it very clear to the Pharisees asking him that he was neither of these. He was merely a voice crying out that the true Messiah and King was coming. He went on to say that he was not even worthy to tie the shoelaces of the one of whom he was speaking. It was on the very next day that John saw Jesus coming toward him and made one of the greatest statements in Scripture. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world," in John 1:29. This is really the answer to the question Isaac asked of his father nearly 4,000 years ago. The ram caught in the thicket that was used for the burnt offering could never take away even one sin from one person. The entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament was used as object lessons by God to point to the one lamb that could take away sin. In Genesis 22, the storytelling of the great faith and obedience of Abraham was put there for the sole purpose of pointing many generations to the true lamb that God himself would provide, Jesus Christ. It is only through the sacrifice he made on the cross that sins are forgiven. There's no other way to have forgiveness of sin or eternal life except through the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus, the very Son of God, on the cross. Today, so many people feel they can stand before God with their good works, their giving, baptism, church membership, and many other things, and God will give them entrance to eternal life. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also states that the wages of sin is death. If we have all sinned and we would get our true wages, we have no hope of ever attaining any favor with God. All hope is lost. There would be nothing to even live for. However, there is one word that makes the difference, and that's a little conjunction, but. But the gift of God is eternal life. God gave to mankind the greatest gift ever given, and that was His Son who became that sacrificial lamb, who paid the price that God required for the forgiveness of sin, which is death. It took me many years to get away from holding on to my own good works, hoping God would favor me with eternal life. It was only when I realized there had already been made the greatest sacrifice ever by Christ that I could know the forgiveness and have eternal life. That's when I found the true peace and contentment. At that point, I put my faith in Christ and knew heaven was my home. Just as Abraham had faith in the Lord, when he was tested and proven, every one of you out there needs to put your faith in Christ to have your sins forgiven and gain eternal life. Perhaps today you need to believe in the Lord as the patriarch did so many years ago, and accept God's provision of the one and only sacrifice for sins that satisfies Him, the sacrifice of the Lamb that He provided. Will you make that decision today, right now, before it is eternally too late? I trust you will. Cry out to God as a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for you, and ask Him to come into your life, and He will.
Just as I am without one.
We at Mission Go pray this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." This month we would like to make available a booklet about the man on the middle cross, written by Alistair Begg. The booklet introduces three people who had their lives changed when they met Jesus. Each was given hope, restoration, and a way back to God: the woman at the well, the paralyzed man, and the thief on the cross. With characteristic clarity, Alistair Begg explains how this offer is open to all who come to Jesus, the man on the middle cross. Alistair Begg is the Bible teacher at Truth for Life, a worldwide radio and digital ministry. He served as senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio for over 40 years. To order this booklet, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Post Office Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the United States, write to Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.